Welcome, Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host, and we're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And let me introduce the crew. Guys, if you don't mind waiting for the video portion of our show, man, this is all about like LAPD. We've got Detective Jamie McBride still active down there. He's a director with the union. And so thanks so much for being on the show, Detective. And also Jeff Weninger. You guys know Jeff Weninger. He just wrote On Thin Ice, and you can get that on thinicebook.com, I believe, and also jeffweninger.com. And he retired from LAPD about a year ago. And we also have Rich Scarapoli, retired Secret Service. He's a new crowd favorite on the show. And he's also the best dressed guy on the show. So we always appreciate it. That's why I'm wearing a collared shirt today, because I knew Rich was going to be on the show. Also, Sergeant Betsy Brantner Smith. And Betsy, we love having you on. She's representative of the National Police Association, the NPA. And they actually drafted one of the articles that we're going to be talking about today. And that's when we get to the riots. It'll be our second story. So, yeah, we've got a great crew on, and we're going to be talking about some stuff involving Tony McBride. Remember Tony McBride, the female LAPD cop? And although she's no longer active with the agency, which I just learned, she was involved in a shooting that is back in the news again. And NPA previously backed her when she got cleared and got qualified immunity. There have been some changes to that, which has got a lot of people up in arms, including me. So I can't wait to cover that. And of course, her father, Jamie McBride, with the union, is on the show as well to help us talk about that. But let's go ahead and whet the appetite. What in the world are we going to be talking about today? And we've got Ninth Circuit. Well, of course, the first thing is going to be the one with Jamie, but Ninth Circuit judge disagrees on clearly established law. So that is the case that we're going to be talking about involving Tony McBride. Also, the next one, the National Police Association to California leaders call for an end to street and highway mayhem that's going on. They want to have stop the blockades and protect public safety now. And so we're going to help them get that message out. We've also got some other stories that are pretty good. We've got DMPD, that is the Des Moines Police Department. They're ending their 30-30 initiative, which is, of course, to get 30% female representation on the police department by the year 2030. They're going to comply with state law banning DEI. And then we've got Casper Police released footage of a fatal shooting of a homeowner during a response to a burglary call. This is where the homeowner called the police, a black female, and she ended up getting shot and killed by the police. But it's when you see it, you're gonna find out very quickly why it's justified. Officials released body cam footage of a fatal 2024 officer involved shooting of Marquez Crowder, and that is in Louisiana. We've got another story: Supreme Court tosses a ruling against a Minneapolis police officer in the George Floyd riot case. And domestic violence suspect shot by police when he holds an object in a shooting stance. But this is at the end of the pursuit. It was pretty much looked like a suicide by cop. And then if you love, you know, I love canine stories. I don't know if we're going to have time to get to it. But Bend burglary suspect throws Molotov cocktails at the cops, and then he gets attacked by the canine. He hits the canine and injures the canine, but the canine comes back in for more before the guy sets himself on fire and gives up. So that's a pretty wild story as well. So stay tuned for that. Hey, I also want to mention, our sponsors. Please support our sponsors, guys. They go the great lengths to make this show available. Galls at galls.com, our title sponsor. ComplianceTechnologies.com, our satellite sponsor. Thanks to them, we're on satellite radio. They're our 6 week right now. Gunlearner.com, BlueTheGold.com, on Medicare.life, and Safeguard Recruiting. We're streaming to 1.5 million people right now. TwoBells.com, that built their new online store. And a shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content. Also, Ray Dietrich, FormerLawman.com, and Law Officer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. So if you guys are ready, let's go ahead and start off with the main topic. I can't wait to get into this. The source I'm using is metnews.com. Ninth Circuit judges disagree on clearly established law. Now, that term, those three words, clearly established law, is that's repeated constantly when you're talking about qualified immunity. So a divided in-bank panel of the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, they held that summary judgment was improperly granted to the city of Los Angeles, LAPD, and one of its police officers who fatally shot a man who was on the ground when the final bullets were fired, saying that it was clearly established at the time that members of law enforcement may not continue to shoot a wounded suspect absent evidence that he presents a continuing lethal threat. Now, the question arose after the parents and the daughter of the surviving guy, Daniel Hernandez, who's most certifiably he's probably certifiable too, but he certainly was a bad guy. The surviving family filed complaints, which were later consolidated against the Los Angeles Police Department, LAPD, Officer Tony McBride. And of course, she's a social media firearms influencer, and she probably needs no introduction. They should have, when they had her, LAPD should have put billboards up with her picture on it, trying to get females to get on that. In fact, other agencies should have barred her around the country. She could have pulled it off, but they blew it. And now they're asserting, the city is asserting the constitutional claims under federal as well as state law assault, wrongful death, and other actions causes, including due process claims for deprivation of companionship. So Officer Tony McBride and another officer, they stopped to investigate. And this is a multi-vehicle accident that happened in South Central Los Angeles. Now, Hernandez climbs out of the driver's side window of one of the cars, and he starts advancing towards Officer McBride. He's got a knife in his possession. I think it ended up being a box cutter, despite her commands to drop the weapon. Now, look, I just pulled this video up to watch it before we did this show. I just wanted to refresh my memory and stuff. I really had no idea, Jamie, the backdrop. I did not know. I counted at least 25 people in the backdrop behind the bad guy while your daughter's shooting, taking this guy out. And when he's moving and rolling as she's doing these double taps, he's getting closer and closer. There were people, you know, behind him when the shooting started, but maybe one or two or maybe three. But as he's rolling and moving more to the left, we're talking about a dozen, the two dozen people at that. That's the backdrop I don't want. So it's kind of interesting that I just saw that. So this guy is coming at her. She's given all kinds of commands that he's ignoring. She fires an initial volley of two shots, double tap, causing him to fall down to the ground. He's still got the knife in his hand. Immediately he tries to get back up again. So she does another two-shot string, tells him to drop it as she fires these other two shots. And of course, he falls down to the ground again. But now he's still moving and rolling, but he's rolling in the direction of these people. He's in front of them. But again, I'm talking about the backdrop. And she does a final two-shot burst. It's a fifth and sixth round shot. And he doesn't move anymore after that. Had a box cutter in his right hand. Now, the district court judge, Stanley Bloomfield Jr. of the Central District of California, he granted summary judgment in favor of the defendants as to all claims. He said that Officer McBride's use of force was reasonable under the circumstances and that the defendants were entitled to qualified immunity because her actions did not violate clearly established law. Now, a three-judge panel, in an opinion written by Circuit Judge Daniel P. Collins, they actually affirmed the judgment in part, finding that there was a tribal issue of fact as to the reasonableness of the shots taken after the decedent was on the ground, but that Officer McBride was entitled to qualified immunity. So at that point, and that was thanks a lot of that due to the National Police Association, the NPA, having her back. Now, an opinion authored by the circuit judge, Jacqueline Nijin, and joined by Chief Judge Mary Huguera, and then all the circuit judges, is the court declared that we reverse the district court's Fourth Amendment rulings. Goes on to say that it's been clearly established for more than a decade that when an officer shoots and wounds a suspect and he falls to the ground, the officer cannot continue to shoot him absent some indication that he presents a continuing threat without first reassessing the need for lethal force. We affirm circuit precedent that a fallen and injured suspect armed only with a bladed instrument does not present a continuing threat merely because he makes non-threatening movements on the ground without attempting to get up. And because the officer here, which would be Tony McBride, continued to shoot Hernandez, our bad guy, under such circumstances, a jury could reasonably find that she employed constitutionally excessive force. If so, she's not entitled to qualified immunity. And we have some circuit judges, Nelson and Budete, and Judge Collins, they penned partial dissent. So that's kind of what we have, you know, so far in this decision, which is, you know, I'm no big fan of, and I'm sure that the people on the show aren't, but we want to help, you know, I love someone to dummy it down for us and let us know what's going to happen next. And maybe Jamie, you might be the person that should start us off on this. I definitely want to hear from Betsy as well, because I know the MPA has had a huge stake in the game on this, and I know that they're not going anywhere. They're going to stick around for this.
Right. And just to give a quick breakdown of the shooting. So she fired six rounds. It was obviously a double tap, double tap, double tap. The chief found it in policy. The use of force board found it in policy. It went to the police commission. They were split. They said the first four were in policy. The last two were out of policy, but that was a split decision on that. It was a 4-1. Then it also went to the California Attorney General's office, who investigated the shooting. They came back. They did a very good investigation, and they said it was absolutely justified, all six rounds. They said because he was still a threat. The person that he was rolling towards, he caused this accident, and one of the victims in the car could not self-extract herself. So, he, you know, if he got up and went to that car, she could not leave. So then Tony just had her day in court. It took 4 years, but she had an administrative appeal heard, and they overturned the police commission's ruling and said all six rounds were in policy. So now, as of to date, everything is in policy from top to bottom. So, you know, we're pretty confident. I mean, we're in California, so you expect this kind of stuff from some of these court decisions. But we know as it goes to the higher courts that they're going to overturn. They're going to see common sense can prevail, that it was justified, and we're very confident in that. Obviously, you know, Tony was, I think, 10 days. She had just turned 23 10 days prior, right? So she was pretty young when this happened. And she's gone through a great deal with this. I think that the suspect's family should realize at one point that this was a result of their son. And, you know, maybe if they would have taught him better manners on how to interact with the police, it would have been a different outcome. But unfortunately, now he's, you know, he's out there using meth and causing all this mayhem, and now he's a saint. So that's just my two cents on that. But we're confident that this Tony's going to prevail on this whole thing.
Well, excellent. Well, it's a perfect timing. You know, we're coming up on our first commercial break. I know Betsy's wanting to weigh in on this too. So great topic, great commentary. It's time for the talk about Gauls at Gauls.com. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys. You know, as police officers, we all know that we can buy our gear from a lot of different sources. And then when you consider going online, the choices are almost unlimited, right? But I want to remind everybody here about the importance of supporting the organizations and the companies that actually support law enforcement. I don't know of a company that fits that bill better than Gauls at Gauls.com. I mean, even their motto is proudly serve those who serve, which, of course, they do in spectacular fashion. And they walk the talk by supporting dozens of focused organizations like this radio show. So when you're looking for gear, support our title sponsor and go to thegauls.com. And they're going to do you one better. For the loyal listeners of the show, they're going to give you a radio code. It's Radio15. And you get automatically 15% off your next purchase at gauls.com. And that is good through June the 31st. So again, go to gauls at gauls.com. Get 15% off using the code radio15, and they have gift cards. We give away two every week on the show. Hook up your family, friends, and loved ones with a new Gauls gift card at Gauls.com to be your new best friends. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. We are on with Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. We've got retired Lieutenant Jeff Wininger from LAPD and also active Detective Jamie McBride with LAPD. And, of course, Rich Steropoli from, where are you from? I think Secret Service, something like that. But, of course, the backdrop is throwing me off. It's just it's a really cool-looking backdrop.
Los Rich. Angeles, my friend. I gotta stand in solidarity with what's going on there.
I can see a little smoke.
Not on fire though.
See a little smoke coming up in the background, maybe on that. So yeah, good pick. We've been talking about Officer Tony McBride, which she probably needs no introduction. I certainly hope not. Formerly with LAPD, and they have just yanked the qualified immunity, and appellate court has at least anyhow. Her father, Jamie, who's currently with LAPD and with the union, just told us that they have officially cleared all six shots. You know, five and six were shots that some minority people had an issue with, but she's been cleared officially by the department on all six shots. And even though we have an appellate court saying that she may not be granted qualified immunity, we'll see where the chips fall, but I appreciate the insight. Unless you had anything else to say on that, Jamie, I know that Betsy wanted to weigh in. So Betsy,
no, I'm good. I think Betsy can take it away.
I just want everybody to know that the Ninth Circuit is overturned about 80% of the time. So I share Jamie's confidence that this will be overturned. But the reason that the NBA got involved with this case from the very beginning is because this really has national implications. And you know, one of the things that I want to point out, because Jamie, you brought it up, you know, Tony was so young when this happened. And I actually used this video to show in my officer survival classes to show how you take control of a scene. And when I tell everybody watching the initial body cam video that this is a 23-year-old officer, they're absolutely blown away. But that's one of the things is when you look at this case, where it's at now, we have got to allow police officers to take control in chaotic situations like this. And this was such a chaotic situation. And so you can't create a new rule of a constitutional law. You can't deny the use of deadly force because of, you know, some bureaucrat or you know, some lefty judge who thinks that, oh, you've got to turn things around. You've got to do things differently because I don't like it. So we at MPA share Jamie's optimism for this. And again, the Ninth Circuit, you know, 80% of the time they're wrong. So I think we'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, I love it. And you know, one thing, you know, the backdrop, you know, that's, she was 6 for 6 on that. I mean, I mean, we cover shootings every day. I mean, I see Rich nodding his head. I mean, what's the accuracy rating? Are 25% at best, Rich, I would say. I mean, and Jeff used to investigate these things every day.
Yeah, she was 100% accurate in her discipline there. And that's another thing too, that this is just such a great example. And I just want to say too, that, you know, people see the initial shooting. Oh, that was years ago, whatever. She has been through emotionally, physically. I mean, she's one of the most resilient people I've ever observed in my life. But the stress of that is extraordinary, and it has lasting effects.
Hey Chip, I just want to add, because you're talking about you know, the background and everything, and some people look at that like, oh my gosh, she was reckless. But a lot of people don't understand is, you know, she went to the Reserve Academy with LAPD at 18, finished top shot. She went to the full-time academy at age 20, finished top shot, you know, beating out the military. She trains weekly, a shooting on the move, targets moving. So it's not like, you know, most of us, including me, I'm lazy. I mean, if I got to go shoot once a year, I get pissed off, right? So she's one of these people that just trains all the time. So I want people to understand that. It's not just somebody that's being reckless. This is somebody who trains and is very proficient with her firearm.
Yeah, and we get it. I mean, I've seen her. I'm a fan. I've seen her shooting videos and stuff. Just what she's able to do with a gun in her hand, it's just, I'm just, you know, you're just in awe, you know, just the level of training. But she knows her capabilities as well, too. There's a lot of cops that may not have been willing to take that, you know, take that shot, you know, with the backdrop. But then again, this bad guy's rolling closer and closer to people, you know, with a knife too. I'm glad, you know, God had the right person going at the right time in order to neutralize the threat, you know. So, because, you know, other cops firing those rounds, I would have felt sorry for the people in the backdrop. It wouldn't have been pretty. So,
no, absolutely.
I didn't know that was your daughter. I got to tell you, I thought that officer did a fantastic, amazing job. The composure that she maintained for that situation, and I've said this before, cops don't pick the situations they roll into. They deal with what they roll into, and she dealt with it perfectly. The only thing that upset me is she didn't hit this guy, you know, 7 or 8 more times, right? This guy's a piece of garbage. What these judges fail to realize, the guy's on the floor with a box cutter. Do I need to remind everyone that's out there listening and watching this what a couple of guys did with box cutters on board a couple of aircraft a few years ago and how many thousands of people they killed as a result of their actions? Reckless is nowhere near the word I would use to describe what went on here. These judges, once again, these woke liberal judges are seizing the opportunity for their moment of being famous. This will absolutely get overturned. I've been in a number of shooting situations myself. I know what goes through the minute you pull that trigger. It could take years before this all of this put to rest. But trust me, this one will be put to rest in her favor. She did a fantastic job. And if she was standing LA, guys drink some guava mango juice, whatever the hell it is you have. I think she did a fantastic job. You should have every reason to be proud. I wish we had a whole department full of cops like this.
Excellent. You know, Jeff always tells me that she takes after her mother. So I appreciate those good words. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Hey, guys, hold that thought. We're 15 seconds out from our second commercial break. We'll be right back. All right, guys, now it's time to talk about MyTech. You know, in today's world, protection goes beyond physical safety. It's about safeguarding those on the front lines from what we call hidden threats. And that's where MyTech, a division of Compliant Technologies, comes in. Now, MyTech provides advanced protective solutions designed for law enforcement, corrections, and first responders. Their Eagle Protect nitrile gloves, they offer four-hour fentanyl and saline protection, giving you peace of mind in high-risk environments. Plus, their MyShield disinfectants and sanitizers, they actually eliminate 99.9% of germs, bacteria, and viruses on contact. Plus, they continue to kill for up to 28 days, helping you stay protected both on and off duty. When it comes to safety, it's non-negotiable. You can trust MyTech to deliver the protection that you need, and you can learn more about how to equip your team today by simply going to ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech. Again, ComplianTechnologies.com/MyTech, because the best defense starts with the right protection. Now it's time to talk about Blue the Gold at BlueTheGold.com. If you're struggling with the ins and outs of warrantless searches and seizures, or if you're worried about the liability in case you get it wrong, say hello to BlueTheGold.com. They translate search and seizure doctrines in the clear, straightforward concepts that any officer can relate to. Plus, they give the training for free thanks to BlueTheGold.com's free weekly webinars. Now, coming up this week, tomorrow, Reasonable Suspicion Deep Dive on June the 11th. You can sign up at BlueTheGold.com today and join thousands of your peers in blue and step up your legal game because, frankly, you and your agency cannot afford not to. Again, that is BlueTheGold.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip the Block, and I'm your host. We're here with Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith. We got Detective Jamie McBride from LAPD, Jeff Winninger, former Lieutenant LAPD, Rich Steropoli, and he is from Secret Service, and he's got a nice backdrop from LAPD, but he's not there live right now, or at least I don't think so. So, we've been talking about Officer Tony McBride and the qualified immunity that they're trying to yank from her, and we've got a lot of information on that, but it's time to roll up a little forward. We've got another main story that we're going to be talking about here before we run out of time, and the National Police Organization, which is who Bessie is the spokesperson for, the NPA, is also was at FoxNews.com and LawOfficer.com, and this particular one, the National Police Association, to California leaders, call for an end to street and highway blockades. Protect public safety now. So the NPA condemns in strongest possible terms the refusal of California's elected officials to instruct demonstrators to stop blocking public streets and highways during the ongoing anti-immigration and customs enforcement protests, which, of course, or the ICE protest. Now, over the weekend and into this morning, the article says that protesters repeatedly blocked the 101 freeway, key surface streets in LA, regardless of California's law, which bans cooperation with ICE. Local police are still the first and last line of defense in keeping the roadways open to ensure the ability of emergency services to reach those people in need that need them. That's something that's an important consideration. Instead of protecting public safety, the offices of the mayor of Los Angeles and governor of California were silent on mobs forcing confrontations with local law enforcement officers, compelling the LAPD to declare multiple unlawful assemblies. State and local law enforcement made dozens of arrests despite being overwhelmingly outnumbered and suffering injuries as well. And it goes on to say that even those criminal blockades pose a clear danger to the public and first responders. Governor Gavin Newsom and Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass have limited their public remarks to criticizing the enforcement of federal law and calling vaguely for peaceful demonstrations. Neither has issued a plea for demonstrators to actually keep public roads and highways clear, or have they acknowledged the obvious public safety crisis created when the ambulances, fire apparatuses, and ordinary commuters are trapped behind these human barricades. And it kind of closes with the NPA calls for immediate action from Governor Newsom and Mayor Bass and every California elected official who holds public office. And they actually give some criteria and recommendations, you know, for what they need to do. Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith.
I'll tell you what they don't talk about, and what we often don't talk about in these situations, is when you have these blocked roadways. You know, we saw this in the St. Louis area in 2014. We've seen it in New York, and especially in Los Angeles, where traffic sucks to begin with. But when you are blocking these intersections, when you shut down the 101, you are endangering lives. And we have a short staff fire department. You got a police department that's 1,200 people short. And you can't get an ambulance or a fire apparatus in. Do I need to remind people that the part of the city just burned down a few months ago? Can't get fire equipment in. People can't get to work. People can't get their wife to the hospital to have a baby. There's so much that's just insanely dangerous. And there's no leadership speaking strongly about that, about this issue. And that's why we put this out, because we want to see Bass and we want to see Newsom stand up and say, stop it. Stop blocking the roadway. Stop preventing first responders from getting places, and stop keeping people from going to work and going about their daily lives.
Rich?
Well, and I think, Betsy, therein lies the problem, right? There is no leadership. You've got Bass and Newsom to begin with. They refer to this as an anti-immigration protest. This isn't an anti-immigration protest. This is a protest by illegal immigrants. They don't belong here, yet it's Bass and Newsom that are giving them every reason to stay here and that are totally empowering them to do whatever they want. You mentioned that the LAPD is, what, 1,500 people short? Doesn't matter. I could give you 8,000 more guys. If they're not given clear directives and clear leadership on how to handle the situation, it doesn't matter how many of these folks I put out there to deal with the problems. They allowed the city to burn. They wouldn't even direct the firemen to put out the fires because there was no water in the hydrants to begin with. Well, how do you expect 5,000 LAPD cops to deal with this? They're not going to be able to do it until leadership gets in there and allows them to handle this in the most effective way possible. Let the cops be cops, but they're not doing it.
Absolutely. And we know that this is not an organic protest. We know that these are the same actors from 2020 and 2014 and Reclaim the Streets and Occupy Wall Street. It's all the same actors, generation after generation. They're paid to be there. Most of them don't know what they're protesting. And yet now it's on the backs of LAPD to have to deal with this garbage, and they have no leadership.
And one thing that's going on is we have two conflicting policies on the department. Jeff's aware of this. We have Special Order 40. I'm going to say this quick so I don't get long-winded. Special Order 40 says that we don't enforce immigration laws, meaning if there's a victim of a crime, we want the person, regardless of their status here, to be able to report the crime and not fear that they're going to be deported, because we want to take the bad guys to jail. That's our priority. Also, during the course of our investigation, if we find out that somebody's illegal, we don't report them. Now, that's our policy. Now, if somebody goes to jail on a crime, we used to be able to put a retainer on them because they're already committed a crime. That's different. Now we have another policy that says we have to cooperate with outside agencies, law enforcement agencies. There's the conflict, right? One saying we don't enforce it, and now we're saying that we're not going to assist ICE, right? That's another, and our policy says we have to cooperate with outside agencies. So if they're requesting us to stand by for assistance for safety purposes, we better be there because that's our policy. So I think that the chief needs to look at both policies and address it, because he's not covering, he's being a little bit more political than actually informing people of the policies, the correct policies.
Where does SB 54 come in, Jamie? Where does that, the law that says, you know, you're not supposed to cooperate with ICE on certain things, you know, where does that come into policy then? Because their Bass is touting that law and Gavin's touting that law. How do you deal with that? You've got law that's different than policy?
You know what? I can't keep up with all the laws that they keep having in California, to be honest with you, because if it did, I wouldn't be able to sleep. Because it'd just be ongoing. California is so screwed up here. But anyways, so back to this thing here, and I see the mayor, I see the chief saying that there's peaceful protests going on. It's not peaceful. I mean, there's the Molotov cocktails being thrown at our officers on horses. They're throwing stuff off of overpasses, you know, those little motorized scooters that can kill somebody. So I think that they need to be address the media and tell them exactly what's going on. This is not a peaceful protest. These are criminals. They're looting and actually rioting and destroying property.
Well, and the NPA, and that's what we're demanding, and we're gonna keep screaming it in the media. And I appreciate being able to do this and being able to say, to tell the truth and put demands on these people, because this is gonna, you know, we could stop this right now. And I hope we don't have a whole summer of this. You know, we've already got it rearing up in Austin and Chicago and I think Tampa, right, Chip? And we'll see around the country. I hope we don't have another summer of love. I don't think the American people will tolerate it. What do you guys think?
Jeff?
Well, you know, the one thing I would say is that, you know, unfortunately, this scenario has been set by what the city of Los Angeles did with structuring the chief's position, where he has two 5-year terms versus having some autonomy. And they made it very political. So, you know, I know Jim McDonald very, very well. I work directly for him. He's an upstanding guy, unbelievably experienced, very insightful, critical thinker, global thinker. But he's also having to be forced by these politicians to maintain this balance between dealing with the real-time crime that's occurring as a result of these, I'll call them anarchists, and him not being perceived as supporting the federal government in the deportation of immigrants based on the political climate in the city of Los Angeles and the state of California. And unfortunately, if it was back to where, like Jamie knows, back when Daryl Gates was there, you know, Daryl Gates could do more what he wanted autonomously without being forced to do things. The politics were taken out of it, but they changed everything. And it's, you know, when you have executives of law enforcement agencies, they need to be able to do things as they best see fit and take the politics out of it.
So, well, it's like what Travis Yates talks about, courageous leadership. We're you know, it's unfortunate that you have a guy that was a good boss and it sounds like a good cop, but he's not a very courageous leader. You know, sometimes, it's got to be about more than your paycheck, you know.
Yeah. And, well, you know, actually, Chip, I remember with Chief Schultz was on, and he made a pretty profound statement when he was on your show a few weeks back. He says, as a chief of police, if you're not willing to take actions that will get you fired, you should not be a chief of police.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Joel Schultz. Totally agree with
you. Hey, Chip, and if anybody's watching from ICE, if there's any leaders from the ICE, please send reinforcements. If you can look at the media, you can see there's a lot more people that need to be deported. So please send more reinforcements to take care of that so we can actually use the freeways.
Yeah, I'll get that out. I think we just did. So excellent. Hey, guys, I see that we're coming up on our third commercial break, and I'm just seeing the clock flashing now. So stick with us. We're going to cover a story with a video component in just 1 second. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And, you know, as law enforcement officers, we deal with guns every day, but it's what we don't know about them that gets us in the trouble. Injuries, civil lawsuits, accidental discharges, misidentifications, lost prosecutions, and even disciplinary issues. But GunLearn.com, they have your back. You can quickly become extremely firearm knowledgeable by simply learning 14 training modules from the convenience of your home or your office, or by attending the live seminar at GunLearn.com. You can also become a certified and accurate and competent certified firearm specialist like our very own Captain Brett Bartlett and also attorney Ken Apianko. Now, the course has had huge success in raising the bar of firearm knowledge, and GunLearn has been a trusted source since 2011 by gun manufacturers, federal agencies, forensic organizations, and police departments nationwide. Now, if you're listening to the show and you have your own agency, your chief or sheriff, they've got a deal for you. The founder, Dana Kelly, has come up with a way where you can actually host a seminar for absolutely no cost. Go to GunLearn.com to get more information, GunLearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. And we've been talking about the alleged LA riots and the uprising about ICE and stuff. And the alleged, did you like that? Is there any more commentary on that, guys? We have a story with a video component that I want to get to. NPA, let's talk about NPA and also On Thin Ice. Betsy, I support the NPA financially every month, along with the Wounded Blue. You know, I don't have to worry about being embarrassed or anything. Can you tell our audience what you guys do and how they can sleep better at night by being a part of such a great organization?
I'll tell you what, everybody, go to nationalpolice.org, see all the fantastic articles and the legal cases that we get involved in, our homeschooling program, all the media work that we do, all trying to bring attention to what the American law enforcement officer does out there and how citizens can support your officers. And we also support the citizens who need help from law enforcement. It's an amazing organization. You can donate monthly. You can donate once. You know, but please take a look what we do and follow us on social media. We have the most amazing account on X at Nat Police Associates. We're also on Facebook, and you can follow me, SGT Betsy Smith, as well.
Love it. Love it. Now, Jeff Weninger, you've got a new book coming out on Thin Ice. You've got a pretty cool graphic. Of course, the title of the book is some hint into your background as a, you know, professional hockey player. Can you tell us about the book and how people can get a hold of it? I know it's not released yet, but it's coming up, and maybe give us a projected date on when that release is going to be coming around.
Well, the book is anticipated to be released late summer, early fall. The marketing team will determine that. But basically, it speaks about my background, my professional experiences, and my practical insights into some of the actionable solutions that I think law enforcement can implement to be successful moving forward in the 21st century. And it's called On Thin Ice. And if you're interested, you can go to jeffweninger.com. And if you don't feel like trying to spell my last name, you can go to onthinicebook.com, and it'll take you to the landing page.
I love it. I love it. All
is
right.
Is there pictures in the book?
There actually will be.
Question. Yeah. That's a good question. Yeah. That was a big deal. Yeah. Where do you put the pictures, right?
Well, I actually
shirtless photos.
I actually put them in there because I know Jamie loves picture books. He doesn't read.
Well, my next question was, is it a comic book? So that was the next question.
I think that if you open up the centerfold, there's a pop-up, right? Isn't that like one of the pop-up things that you've got in the center of the book? I think you said you put that in there for Jamie, something like that. I can't remember exactly.
Actually, the 1998 LAPD calendar, or is the Mr. January in the cover. Yeah, that's what pops up.
We're not even going to touch that. Betsy, I can see. I'm not even going to go there. Don't worry. He's not going to suck me into that one. So,
hey Chip, real quick. I just want to thank Betsy and her organization. Our family appreciates everything you do. So thank you very much.
Yeah, they certainly have got it going on. They've got a whole team of people and attorneys and stuff. Wow. I agree. Well, guys, we've got I'm going to skip over the update article and going to jump straight to a story of the video component. Rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel called This Is Butter. And look, when we talk about stories with video components, we realize that some of our people on radio and podcasts are listening audibly. And we will describe in great detail what's going on so that you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. But if we cover something that you absolutely have to see, all you have to do is go to a Rumble channel the very next day at 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. Our producer puts up a copy of the live show from the day before, but he'll embed every video that we talk about as we talk about it. He'll put pictures of the good guys and the bad guys that pop up. It's really a great option that you have. Our Rumble channel is called Leo Roundtable, or you can type in Law Enforcement Talk Show. So that said, and look, I'm going to talk about the Casper Police, unless you guys have a video that you would rather talk about. I know I threw the K9 one at the end, but the Casper Police is the one I was going to cover, unless there's some objection. I'm just going to go with that one. Casper Police released footage of a fatal shooting of a homeowner during a response to a burglary call.
Shots fired,
366, shots fired. So we're in Casper, Wyoming. So on a Friday, the Casper Police Department, they released additional information and body cam footage of the post-midnight burglary call. It happened on April the 28th. And we had two officers that fired at and killed an armed suspect. Now, the armed suspect was 37-year-old Jody Renee Cobia, a resident, mother of four, legal resident of the home, and she ended up being killed in the incident. So how in the world did we get there, right? So police said that the following week, Cobia herself had called 911 to report an act of burglary by an armed suspect that was wearing all black. So when the police get there, she answers the door. She's dressed in all black, just like the description she gave of the suspect. And she's got a firearm at her side in her left hand. She ends up pointing at the responding officers. Now, takes them off guard. Now, the video includes the 911 call in which she's heard telling the dispatcher there's a burglar. He's wearing all black. Please show up. And the dispatch says, hey, where in the house is he? She says he's in the back room. And they go, are you in the back room? And she pauses. She says, yeah, I'm running away from him. And then after that, the call disconnects. So according to the video, the 911 call was placed at 12:01 in the morning. And the cops get there at 12:04, 3 minutes later. Pretty impressive response time. The officer identified as officer number one in the video. He knocks on the front door. Our female answers, wearing black again. She's got a black hat on. She got dark hair. And he says, hello. There's a large dog that comes out. He actually jumps his paws. He jumps on the officer. And at the same time, our girl, she steps towards him. She brings his handgun up with her left hand, and then she goes two hands with it, and she points it at the officer. And she says, where the F are my children? And then an officer could be heard, you know, there's an exclamation. We got cops trying to get out of the way. We hear five shots fired, and footage from officer number two in the driveway captures the quick encounter. And it shows her, you know, raising the arm and stuff. So it goes on to say that they cleared the residence because they really don't know whether there's a burglar in there or not at 12:13. The supervisor, they clear for entry, and then they go and they try to treat her gunshot wound. She had a single gunshot wound to the chest, and there was an exit wound out the back. And they place a seal on both wounds, the front and the back, before EMS takes her. And they find a firearm with a loaded magazine. Is the one that she was holding, and that's kind of the way that it ends, but it was a fatal shoot. Commentary on this, guys, and I mean, you know, you never know what you're going to get when you get calls like this, and people that call the police and say things are going on doesn't mean that they're this helps make people in Tampa look better, Jamie, because we got a lot of wackadoos here in Tampa. So what do you think, Detective?
Well, you know what? It's unfortunate because, I mean, as an officer, nobody wants to, you know, shoot somebody that's having a mental breakdown. We don't know if this is suicide by cop. Somebody has some, you know, nobody wants to shoot a nut job, right? If we were going to shoot somebody, it's going to be a bad guy. So I'm sure the officers involved are probably, you know, trying to deal with this personally, but they did what they had to do. Nobody wants to take a life, but they did what they had to do to make sure that their life wasn't taken. So it's just a shitty situation all the way around.
Yeah, and let me say this about Casper PD. You know, this is only a town of 58,000. Dave and I own a little property about an hour from there. We've trained a lot of these cops. We've trained a lot in Casper. It's a really professional, well-trained police department. And you know, when I first looked at this, I thought, oh, these poor guys. But I do know that they're being supported. The city's handling it well. People in the community are supportive of them, I was told, but it's a really great agency.
Well, thanks.
And let me just pick up on what Sergeant Betsy just said, right? Yeah, I know Casper. I know the area. Very well-trained department. It is a small department with a small population. But as I've said before, all that means is if you're wearing a uniform, if you're a cop responding to something, you just don't see the volume of activity per shift that somebody in New York, Los Angeles, or Chicago sees. That doesn't diminish the level of the threat and the level of danger. I thought these two guys, it was a shitty situation, as Jamie said, but they had to handle it. Your job is not to go out there, knock on somebody's door, and then get shot when somebody points a gun at you, right? It's unfortunate how it played out, but the bottom line is, look, these cops were called to a situation, and they responded to it, and that's what happened. So all that other detail is nice to know about. But as far as I'm concerned, good shoot. You know, let's move on.
Jeff Weninger, 40 seconds. Take us home. No,
the only one thing I would have liked to have seen, I listened to the entire video. So I was listening to the RTO and this woman being the reporting person. It was off. I would have liked to have seen the RTO pick up on that and broadcast to the officers. Listen, something doesn't sound right about this thing. And they may have approached it a little differently. But other than that, it was tragic, and I feel for everybody involved. But that's one area that I would have liked to have seen the radio transmitter officer pick up on.
Good point. I mean, we don't, as cops, we just don't like the loss of life. But although there was no choice in this one. Hey, guys, thanks so much. Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith, Lieutenant Jeff Weninger, Detective Jamie McBride, Agent Rich Steropoli. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. I usually take this opportunity to talk about the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt that are suffering from things like PTSD and other issues. And also, we have the nationalpolice.org, NPA, which is doing God's work across the country as well. And a lot of the stuff they do is behind the scenes. So if you're looking for a couple of organizations to support that you know are not going to come back and embarrass you, and you're really going to sleep better at night like I do, please consider getting involved with them. They're really doing some great stuff. And don't forget about Jeff Weninger's book coming out as well, jeffweninger.com or onthenicebook.com. A shout out again to our sponsors, Gauls.com, our title sponsor, ComplianTechnologies.com, Gumler.com, BlueTheGold.com, Medicare.live, SafeGuardRecruiting, and TwoBells.com. We appreciate everybody's support. We'll see you back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.